Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Be dead 5 or 6 minutes earlier than we would have been. I can live with that. Anyway, it seems to me, as far as you're concerned, the sooner the better.
Is that really how you see me? The eternal pessimist? The grim reaper? I don't want to die. What makes you think I want to die?
Because ever since we saw Enterprise spread across that asteroid, you've done nothing but write your own obituary.
I lost nearly everyone I cared about. On that ship. Those girls I talked about. Rochelle, Deborah, Caitlin. None of them worked out because I could never get very close to them. Never got very close to my family either, for that matter. Not that it's any business of yours.
All right, now we can start the podcast if you guys are cool with it.
Now we can start the podcast, doo-da-dee-do. Now we can start the podcast. It's going to be some fun.
Okay. All right. I think that's a...
Wait.
That's a good... We can start the podcast.
Now. Wait. I don't even know where we started.
Huh? We just started.
Now we just started the podcast. Yeah. We just started the podcast. We just started the podcast. Yeah.
All right.
Did we start already?
Yeah. I will take that as having started. The timer is on.
What did we start?
We started the podcast. Yeah, we did start the podcast. Yeah, we did start the podcast. Yes, we did.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is a real treat, actually.
It's a real treat.
Not everyone gets to hear solos from Dan.
It's a real treat, so get on your feet.
No. Hello.
It's super cool, and it can't be beat.
Hello.
It's a real treat. You gotta go to the It's Got Star Trek podcast show.
I mean, you didn't need to add in the podcast. You added, there was an extra extra couple syllables.
This guy is just like all criticism, no compliment over here.
It's not meant to be criticism.
No, I'm just playing. You compliment me plenty, Patrick.
Take it as a, what do you call it? Constructive.
No, I'm just like, hey, man. You know, improv, you never know what kind of crazy shit's going to...
It was just very off the cuff.
You just never know what's going to happen with improv. Like, anything can happen.
Yeah, it's magical.
And so sometimes maybe something that challenges you, Patrick, is a good thing. You ever think about that?
I do.
It frequently challenges, makes you think about stuff.
I do, yeah. Okay.
You think about what Dan might be thinking.
Welcome to... You're purposely distracting me.
No, I'm not.
Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Sometimes I think you North Americans read nothing but comic books and those ridiculous science fiction novels.
Ridiculous. That was self-referential.
He was talking about...
Yeah, it was. It's like, wait a minute, we're watching science fiction. If you're in science fiction, if you're living in space in a spaceship, does that mean you have to like sci-fi because you're living sci-fi?
Wasn't there the thing about Picard wasn't that into reading sci-fi.
But you're in sci-fi.
Yeah, so if that's
so
the
if
thing,
you,
man.
If you don't...
You're not in sci-fi, you're in sci-re.
Look,
sci-re.
If you're in...
It's not science fiction,
okay,
it's science reality.
It's their own reality.
If you are in now what we once called sci-fi, that means if you don't like sci-fi, you don't like yourself.
Well, it causes one to question.
I think Dan is being rhetorical. He's having a bit of rhetorical fun. I don't think he buys into the argument he's asserting.
Having some
kind of
fun.
You can't tell me.
I'm not telling you
that.
Wow, that was cool.
Wait, wait, did you get, is that Trip saying what? Can you do that again?
What?
All right, okay. I'm so delighted because seriously, when I watched this episode,
what?
An audience, we'll get to it in a second. That was my favorite line reading of Trip ever in the history of this show, Enterprise.
What?
we'll talk more about that later in context.
There's a few good things.
Because that was, I don't know, I just really like that. But, okay, so it's got
to say. Isn't there something you're supposed to say to me?
Yes, indeed. I'm supposed to say the title of the show.
Oh, you already did that.
The number. No, I didn't.
Yeah, you said it's got Star Trek.
No, no. Oh, that's the title of the podcast, but I haven't said the title of the episode of Star Trek that we're watching.
Okay.
All right. So,
you don't say.
It's got Star Trek is the podcast. The show we are discussing this week is Enterprise, the particular piece of the franchise that we're discussing.
Yes.
Star Trek Enterprise, or just Enterprise for the first couple seasons.
Okay.
Right. And the episode we're watching is Shuttle Pod 1.
I got the receiver working, but the transmitter's a lost cause. Who's stinky?
Stinky.
Another great line delivery. Just go right into the stinky.
Right. I love it. It so casually goes into who's stinky. Now, originally, I had a more appropriate quote I was going to play. I was going to play this one.
Or is it just the galaxy giggling at us again?
Because that's pretty good too. But like, I love the idea of one of the first things you hear is,
I got the receiver working, but the transmitter's a lost cause. Who's stinky?
He integrates that with the rest of his shit.
The cadence is perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. So much is so much is fun about this episode. It is considered, I think, by many to be a classic, one of the classic Enterprise episodes, a good entryway, perhaps, to people. Season one episode, late in season one. So I think we're going to have a great deal of fun talking about this week. But
what a delightful choice.
But a couple other things first. I do need to mention that this is episode 312.
Whoa.
312.
Holy shit.
Of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Are you serious?
It's funny.
I think he is.
Are you serious?
It was a long time.
Totally serious.
Are you serious?
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 Serious as fucking cancer, this guy.
A lot of podcasts.
Who the hell do you think you are?
They make a big deal at the beginning. They'll be like, "Hi, I'm Dan. I'm Jesse. I'm Patrick." You know, we don't really do that.
I'm Jesse.
That's Jesse. I'm Patrick.
You want me to guess?
Dan is the fella clicking on the sound clips. That's like his gag. You know?
Go to hell!
For like a new listener, like Dan's gag is that he like gets a bunch of sound clips and he plays the sound clips.
Stinky. 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 Stinky.
Stinky shit was pretty funny.
Stinky. 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 It was when I said stinky, wasn't it? You smiled when I said stinky. Good morning, stinky.
Even
it's a lovely day, isn't it?
The context stinky. The context around that is a little problematic.
it is. I actually have a three-point list of like Paulness.
Well,
so
that was the other thing. I just want to get a couple things out of the way early because we do want to jump into this conversation.
Oily. We want to get it about oily.
We got to do the start-em ups.
If it's so oily, you should wash your hair.
So
get it? Because it's so oily?
Well, why is it your hair?
Because it's so oily.
What if you just have oily hands?
But it's like, sounds like early. What if I had an oily butt? Like, what does it?
You don't wash your hair, you wash your butt.
No, I'm saying you got to pick something, Jesse. It's like when somebody picks, like, if I eat,
well, it wasn't clear that you were picking.
If I eat a hamburger, do you come up to me and say like, Dan, why didn't you eat a pizza? You know, is that what happens?
I don't think that's
is that
the
what you
same.
Do, Jesse? Jesse, is that what you do?
Is that what
because
I
if
do?
That's what you do.
Is that what happens? Do you every
you
day
do,
I knock on your door and I say, why haven't you eaten a piece of fucking pizza?
Jesse, we need to sit down and have a talk. All right. We need to sit down and have a talk.
Okay. So Dan and Jesse are going to sort this out perhaps during
we're going to have a different sort of talk.
During the first break, which doesn't happen for 23 minutes or so. So we'll get there soon enough.
No, we're just playing.
So, yes, we're talking about
Shuttle Pod.
We're just playing, right, Jesse?
Yes.
Talking about Shuttle Pod 1, we will have...
Patrick's in a hurry. Somewhere.
No, I'm not in a hurry. I just want to get this out because I want to talk about Shuttle Pod 1. But as part of this, is all related to Shuttle Pod 1.
You just have to get through the beginning.
He's a little bit in a hurry.
We... We will have a second break fun 'em up, care of our old friends at Trek Time.
All right.
At Trek Time on YouTube and Blue Sky. When we posted that we were going to be doing Shuttle Pod 1, Trek Time sent in a some facts, some interesting facts. And these are facts that from an angle that I don't think you're going to guess.
We're dangerous.
So at the beginning of the second break, that's enticement for you to keep listening.
A whole
of that. We will do a little bit of a quiz 'em up based off of the facts that Trek Time sent in. I am looking forward to that.
That's good enough for me.
I also want to know what else I should be looking forward to, as well as our listeners. And so, Dan, I would like to know ahead of time about any lists, about any that's in orders, about any duty or no duty.
I should say
duty or no duties, right? Mm-hmm. I just want to get some understanding of what we can expect.
This is ripe with that's an order.
So then we can start the conversation at the beginning, right? So what can we expect, Dan, from your end over here?
My end.
Yeah.
Which end?
Well, from my end,
there is the business end.
There is weird Malcolm fantasy about T'Pol. It's pretty short. That's a list. I would say it's more of like three parts. It's in three parts. It's more of a trilogy.
A three-part tableau.
You could split the Malcolm's fantasy about T'Pol into three stories that make up a trilogy.
Okay.
Huh. All right. Well, I'm interested to hear those, but we should save that for later.
There's Negative Malcolm, which is like a 13-point list.
That actually sounds short to me. How negative he was in this episode.
Yeah. Then there's just a couple little things here and there that aren't really, I mean,
little old things.
Like how they got stranded, Malcolm dissing on American culture,
all right,
and stuff like that.
So that's like in the list or quasi-list category.
That's probably can be integrated.
All right. Now, duty or no duties. Are there any duty or no duties?
Duty or no duty. There's one duty or no duty.
Okay. Something to look forward to.
But there's a couple of that's in orders. That's in orders.
There are some that's in orders and variations on that's in orders. And again, for new listeners, these are...
This was a lot of that's in order.
Little games. I think you'll figure it out from the context.
Little games or items.
I don't think there's going to be any new listeners.
Or compilations.
I'm confused also because Jesse is quite confident that there are that's in orders. Dan has not actually acknowledged.
There are two.
Two?
There's at least two, yeah.
Two.
So there's all these little encapsulations we've made to present to the audience, you know, like that's in order, list, fun 'em ups.
These
nuts 'em ups.
That's for the Patreon.
Live a little. That's an order.
All right, good. Now we know all that stuff, and we can commence our discussion of Shuttle Pod 1.
Hell yeah.
May God have mercy on our souls.
On episode 312 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Great idea.
This is one of those silly sort of mistake 'em up episodes.
Yeah, it's we start the episode out in media res or whatever the term is, where they're already hanging out in the shuttlecraft. Now they're not all fucked up yet. They're not lost.
Oh, they're having a good old time.
They're not trapped, but they're already getting on each other's nerves a little bit. We understand that Malcolm and Trip have been hanging out for testing something. I forget, some sort of, what was it, sensors? What were they testing?
I thought they were, were they mapping the... Well, no, that's what the Enterprise was.
I think they were testing the...
testing the ship. It's the shuttle pod.
Specifically, I think the targeting array, the targeting sensors, because I think they were like, I don't know, beefing up the old shuttle
that
pod.
That sounds about right. What do you got, Dan?
Well, the Enterprise was mapping the asteroid field.
Right.
And I don't think it really said what they're doing, but all we know is that their comms went, their sensor array went down.
I think it said something about them testing targeting
arrays. They were doing some sort of test with the shuttle pod. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if it's really ever clear what it is they're doing. All we know is their sensor array went down and they don't have the comms for whatever reason.
Well, write in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com and tell us what's what. It's a new segment called What's What?
What What in the Shuttle Pod.
What What?
In the Shuttle Pod.
In the Shuttle Pod.
So yeah, they got, right, so they get, the way they get stranded, if we want to talk about that.
We do.
You want to put it in my Shuttle Pod?
So what happens is they're like, you know, the Enterprise is going to come back in 3 days and they're just like flying through space. And so like what happened is the Tesnians, they crashed into the Enterprise, right? Tell me if I'm ever getting any of these parts wrong, please.
Right. I think that sounds...
So the Tesnians crashed into the Enterprise because they got fucked up by a micro singularity.
Which Archer does not believe in and keeps referring to as a Vulcan myth.
Yes.
Which is kind of funny because... I didn't have a chance to double check. I know that microsingularities are certainly a theoretical thing. I think they're not particularly controversial today, as in today's science, I think, accepts the existence, or at least the likelihood of the existence of microsingularities or micro black holes.
But it's, I mean, if you can have a big one, you can have a little one.
Yeah. It sounds counterintuitive, because you would have a small black hole that would evaporate quickly, but we know a lot more about black holes now than they did in circa 2001.
This is no myth, Captain.
I mean, the black hole, isn't it created because like a star squishes into what's the most dense star? The neutron star?
No, it's
I know what I'm saying. Wait, first.
Yeah, I know, but I know the answer.
Wait,
look up the answer, but I can also.
I'm trying to figure out what's the densest kind of star, and I thought it's like I'm forgetting what it's called.
A neutron star is it's very dense, and it is a remnant.
It's a remnant
of a supernova.
So I'm just telling you what I learned, and I'm not saying the information hasn't changed. Since then, but what I learned, and give me the update. Yeah. But what I learned is that what happens is a planet collapses into a neutron star.
Not a planet,
a star.
I meant star. A star collapses into a neutron star, and the neutron star is like the densest kind of star you have. But sometimes, because there's some limit, it's a long word that starts with CH. It's like Chandrasekhar's limit or something.
Yes, Chandrasekhar's.
Yeah, and that's the limit of how dense something can be. But sometimes that shit like surpasses.
I'm not making any jokes about your intelligence here.
Now that you said that, I'm thinking you said something that I missed. What did you say something earlier that I?
You're talking about being the most dense thing in the universe.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I was too dense to get that joke. Yeah. But sometimes it collapses past that limit, and when it collapses past that limit, the universe breaks basically.
That's my
editorializing of it. But then the singularity is created, and that's how a black hole is created. Now, do we still believe this?
Yes, but
micro singularities are counterintuitive.
I get why they're counterintuitive.
No, I know. I'm just explaining I'm not explaining to you. I'm just saying, look, we're talking on a microphone to the people in the audience. And I'm just saying, like, a micro singularity, to me, it seems counterintuitive because it just doesn't seem like it would get enough gravity built up to make such a thing.
It's because it's not a function, strictly speaking, of mass, but of a complex ratio of mass to space time and gravity and other things like that. So there are other things that can cause
the
singularity.
Yeah,
it wouldn't come from a star.
No, they're shorter lived. Because another thing people didn't realize, I mean, one of the things that Hawking became famous for is he came up with the idea of Hawking radiation, which was later proven, which showed that black holes actually evaporate over time.
Right, yeah.
But the more massive ones, like at the center of a galaxy, which are the size of trillions of stars, those take forever, basically.
Yeah, right. These are things
a small one evaporates instantaneously.
I know about how they evaporate, and when I said it's counterintuitive, what I meant is it's counterintuitive to the idea that it's just something collapsing beyond the thing. So that's why I'm saying, like, if there's true, there must be something else at work,
it's always funny.
So
a declarative statement in Star Trek. This has come up many times, where Star Trek is a sci-fi show. It's a franchise that's run for decades, and as would be expected, things that are not known at a certain time or conjectured a certain way, more science is learned and you figure stuff out. The classic example of is Picard talking about that one theorem unsolved, and everyone's just like, was it Fermat's theorem or whatever? And then like in the late 90s or something, somebody solved it.
Right, it was like after Star Trek.
Yeah, it was like after that TNG episode. And of course, the TOS, most of TOS was filmed before the moon landing.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't know what was that.
It was filmed before the moon landing!
A lot of computers.
It was filmed before the moon landing!
But so the whole conceit in this episode is fun because you just got Archer being like, because T'Pol was always talking about how time travel was a myth. Remember, T'Pol never wanted to believe in time travel.
Right.
All throughout Enterprise.
Do they mention micro singularities in any other Enterprise episode? I feel like they might have, but maybe they didn't.
I don't know.
T'Pol. T'Pol.
What do you think of T'Pol?
But we don't want to get into that part.
I've watched this episode many times, but I totally forgot.
He forgot.
No, no, I forgot.
No, I didn't forget. I forgot.
I forgot that there was this whole twisty bit where they mistakenly believe that the Enterprise is blown up. I forgot about that.
Okay, right. Yeah. So what I was saying is the Testians crashed into the Enterprise.
The Testians?
Testnians.
Oh, Testnians. Sorry.
Testians.
The really cool sounding aliens that we never get to see.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. Bummer.
Micro singularities are a Vulcan myth.
So those micro singularities, we find out that's what like fucked up the Tesnian ship, is why they crashed into the Enterprise. The Enterprise wasn't effective because they had ablative plating. I think that's what they said.
Or as effective. Ablative. Because T'Pol did note there were a couple of like weird things. Kind of, yeah, they had polarized plating.
Polarized, like, or was it
the precursor to shields. Polarized. They don't get the shields yet. They got the polarized
plating. They said the hulls were polarized, but then they mentioned hull plating later, so I got it mixed up with something else. Ablative plating is something else.
Yeah, it's like tanks.
Never mind.
The Defiant had that.
No,
shit.
Say they've hull plating. So the Tesnians get fucked up the singularity. They fuck into the Enterprise. Now the Enterprise was like, we got to take a detour and get these Tesnians back to their home planet. Yeah. We got to take a detour. Meanwhile, Trip Tucker III and Malcolm come back earlier because their shit got fucked up, right?
By a micro singularity.
Exactly. And when they come back, the Enterprise isn't there because, well, the Enterprise was taking them home. Yeah. But the Enterprise did leave something behind. It left behind part of its...
The shuttle bay door.
Shuttle bay door. And when they saw that, they just assumed that it blew up, which I don't know if that's a wonderful assumption, but like, you'd think they'd see something else. But whatever, it's not a big deal.
Okay, why didn't the Enterprise tell the shuttle pod that they were leaving?
Their comms were down.
Just because their comms happen to be down.
I don't know if the Enterprise they didn't mention in the episode. If they did, they would have mentioned the episode. We tried contacting them.
We're leaving a buoy or something. But Enterprise gets away with a lot of this stuff because it's early.
But that's a good point, because if they had tried to contact the shuttle pod and the shuttle pod didn't respond because their comms are down, they would have gone looking for them. So.
I agree.
I was confused at first when I saw the episode, because I was like kind of like half watching the opening, but I couldn't figure out at first what the problem was. No. Because they showed the asteroid, and then when I watched it, then I rewound it, because I was like, wait, did I miss something? And then I was like, oh, the ship's shuttle bay door is there. But the problem is it was like the same greenish-yellow of the asteroid. No. So at first, I couldn't tell what I was looking at. I couldn't tell that I was looking at an asteroid with a shuttle door on it. All I could tell was asteroid with some kind of...
It looked like a funny business.
It looked like an asteroid with either some kind of like...
Like a landing strip.
Or some kind of like messed up little town on the side. I couldn't tell what was going on.
Yeah, because presumably the remains of the other ship, of the Tesnian ship.
So it did shuttle bay door didn't stick out enough for me. So it was a little. So I had to like. I think it's easy to miss if you're not paying super close attention.
Yeah, there was that Lower Decks where they were doing a spacewalk and the ship was all like, "Oh, we got to do." There was some kind of emergency and they left them. And then they came back and they were almost frozen to death. After seeing this episode, that sort of makes me think maybe they were goofing on that a little bit because they didn't, you know, there was a similar situation where they were, you know, these shuttlecraft don't have any kind of, you know, faster than light drive, obviously, right? They were just cruising in space on impulse power, and it's pretty primitive as far as, you know, Star Trek. This is the first Star Trek shit.
I told you, it's too far.
Yeah.
Well, and part of what was interesting about this...
So they might as well have been just walking in space.
This is a might as well be walking on the sun. Sorry, I apologize.
Bad band.
I told you, it's too far.
I did go too far in that case.
Who the hell do you think you are?
But this is one of those classic stories where the ultimate point, the narrative point of this story...
What is the narrative point?
Is to get some...
Gets to get some
very male, very male oriented character development, and in classic, particularly this period of time, this early 2000s time, the classic way to do that would be you want two male characters to open up about themselves, about each other. You want them to advance emotionally. But
oh god,
the way you had to do this would be to put them into a situation where they're forced to be in physical proximity to each other, and they believe they're going to die.
Yep. Yeah.
That's the only way that men in this context are can be expected to even begin to open up to each other.
We will be dead.
So we get some very nice character development, but it's, I think when you consider it from the 2025 perspective, a TV show, like a lot of these machinations would not have been necessary. Most of this plot would not have been necessary just to get the two characters to talk to each other and learn more about each other. But yeah, here, right. You really had to push them to the fucking limits of their mental capacity and their belief in how long they were going to survive before they'd be like, okay, I'm gonna
because they were really
open up
annoying each other until like a certain point.
I'm gonna start getting real cranky.
Connor Trinneer does such a good job of this because I love the character who's threatening to become the thing he already is. And this is such a great representation of the guy who's cranky as fuck. He is pissed off, but he's like, if you fuck with me, I'm going to become cranky. And you're like, oh my God, what does he mean? Because
they die doing what they love. 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 They die doing what they love.
They die doing what they love. They die doing what they loved.
They die doing what they love. They die doing what they love. At least we should find the black box. At least we should find the black box. Black box. Black box. Any meatloaf? They die doing what they love. Any meatloaf? They die doing what they love. Any meatloaf? At least we should find the black box. At least we should find the black box. They die doing what they love. Black box. Any meatloaf?
Yeah, you guys
what
were.
Was it? There was like sea bass. And
yeah.
What was the other
thing?
Oh,
yeah. There was Chilean sea bass. There was Mugu Guy Pan.
Okay. Right. I have a question about that decision to put that in there.
I have the same question, Dan.
So they're like, because the way it was set up in threes. Mm-hmm. It's like veal marsala.
Oh,
chicken,
veal marsala.
Chicken. Chilean sea bass. Mugu Guy Pan. Or meatloaf. Yeah. But Mugu Guy Pan is like not some. Like, if you're going rule of threes, veal, marsala sounds fancy, Chilean sea bass sounds fancy, Mugu Guy Pan, however you're supposed to pronounce
that's
it.
That's pretty standard.
It's supposed to sound fancy, but it's not. It's like some Americanized Chinese, like, dish.
It's just regular Chinese dish.
And it's like some American dish, which I'm not judging the dish. I don't even remember what it tastes like, but I'm just saying it seems like they're using Mugu Guy Pan as like a way to like, they're grouping it with Chilean sea bass and veal marsala as fancy dishes, but Tripso down home, he picks the meatloaf.
Is that the egg thing, Mugu Guy Pan? Is it like the fluffy sort of omelette?
It could be. You might be right. I don't know if that's what you were going after, Patrick, but like that basically saying
pretty
like,
much, well, with,
like they treated it like it was a fancy food, but it's not.
Well, also I think the added thing is it also sounds funny. I think that's their intention and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Because the way they said it, you know, what would you replace it with if you wanted to make the rule of three work better? Because
pad thai.
I was maybe pad thai, but again, maybe that's not quote unquote fancy enough. I don't know. Transport yourself to the year 2000.
Some sort of nice tuna sushi.
Maybe some kind of an Indian dish.
Well,
Indian
masala. Dish. Isn't the biryani?
Veal marsala.
That's marsala.
Marsala.
That's like a mushroom. That's like a mushroom.
Gotcha.
Sauce.
Yeah, it's like a mushroom and wang sauce.
And wang sauce.
Wine.
How about coco vin? Coco vin.
Masala. Masala wine.
Coco vin is rooster with wine sauce.
Isn't that a kind of wood?
Cock and wine.
Isn't that a kind of wood? Coco vin desk.
No.
No, that's...
That I couldn't tell you. You're talking about mahogany?
No, not mahogany. Yeah, Coco Vin, you mean mahogany? let me think. Duct tape. You mean scotch tape? No, I said duct tape. Let me see. Pepperoni pizza. You mean mushroom pizza?
This guy's really wound up over here.
I'm just having fun. I hope you guys are too.
You're just having a good time.
Yeah.
We're just shooting the shit, having some fun.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
If there's something you need me to
do. Ready to fight us.
I would maybe put coq au vin. I think that would be interesting.
Coq and wang.
I would say some kind of, name a good Indian dish.
Well, there's a lot of
chicken biryani.
There you go.
Or butter chicken or
see, I would say
tikka masala.
I would say tiki masala, but they already say chicken marsala, as Patrick kind of like.
And isn't marsala, tiki masala is like a British thing. So
that is, it's more British Indian.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
well, a lot of what we know of Indian food is British Indian.
British Indian. So. Colonialism. Indeed.
Any meatloaf?
Okay, meatloaf.
It's just like American Chinese food.
Meatloaf. Meatloaf. I like Meatloaf if it's done properly. That's the tricky bit. Meatloaf gets a bad reputation.
Can we not get back into this Meatloaf discussion again?
Okay. Dan doesn't like talking about the Meatloaf, and I respect that.
No, no. I like Meatloaf, but did you forget the argument that happened that was like a year or two ago about Meatloaf and hamburgers?
I would have gone with the Bass or the veal.
Didn't that generate a bunch of emails, that Meatloaf hamburger business?
Yeah, where I argued that if you don't like meatloaf, like if you like hamburgers, you like meatloaf.
That's right. You argued an insane position.
No, it's not an insane. See, I said we shouldn't get back into this. It's not a fucking insane position.
It was fucked up.
It's not insane. They're both ground beef. It's not insane. Hyperbolize much, Patrick?
No, I honestly think it's insane. But
it's not insane.
But it's an opinion. It's an objective thing. You know what would be insane is
and to go back to the pizza hamburger thing. I don't even remember. I've been talking about pizzas and hamburgers all night. I don't even remember if I've talked about it on the podcast yet. But if I have, I'm going to talk about it again. If I haven't, then I've been talking about it earlier before the podcast. That's like, you know what's insane is to say like, oh, if you like hamburgers, you like pizza. Like, that's insane. But if you like hamburgers, you like meatloaf, they're both fucking ground beef. I don't want to argue about this anymore.
Send the letters to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com or @itsgotstartrek on all the social media. Now, we need to take a break, and when we get back, we'll have
a regular Grim Reaper, Malcolm.
We will have, I think, what everyone's going to really appreciate, the fun 'em up care of Trek time, and we will then continue. Wait, what are we doing? We're going to go
fun 'em up.
We're going to do what now?
We're going to go on a break in a second.
Break 'em up.
What's so great? Okay.
I don't know what you're trying to set me up for, Dan. I'm getting a little frightened. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and do the thing.
What's the tuck up?
We will be right back.
Navigation is down. It's offline.
And we're back.
You still chasing gremlins?
Gremlins.
Yeah.
I asked you a question.
Like the spidery gremlins?
I am still chasing gremlins.
Jesse, I was asking you a question.
Yes.
You don't know what I asked you.
Are you still chasing gremlins?
Yeah. You knew what I was asking you.
How are you feeling?
I thought there might be like a punchline to that because you made a big deal about asking us. It may have got a little awkward.
No, I was just asking. I just wanted to know if you're still chasing gremlins. Because I played it, nobody said it. It got really silent after I played it. So silent that you could trim it out and no one would notice listening.
Do you think I should leave it?
There's like the spidery gremlin.
If you trim it out, then our conversation post seating it won't make any sense.
But I bet I could shorten it and it would still be awkward enough.
Shorten it.
Right? Depends on how long it was, because I wasn't really paying attention.
What? What a delightful choice.
Oh my God, it really is one of my favorite things. All right, so before we continue our conversation,
or
maybe even leading into it, because this might lead into some of Dan's lists or something, but I did want to kind of create like a little impromptu quiz-em-up based off of these fun facts that Trek Time sent us. And again, that was Trek Time on Blue Sky at Trek Time and also on YouTube. Definitely go to YouTube. Subscribe to Trek Time at Trek Time. Very easy. So
that's an order.
There you go, dude.
So this episode is, as Trek Time notes, this episode is a wordy episode.
Wordy. You mean verbose?
It's verbose. That's precisely what I mean, Dan. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a British dude and a guy from Florida.
And ipso facto, it's going to be a very verbose episode. Mm-hmm. So the question is, do you have a guess? And I know this is crazy. You're just...
These are going to be wild guesses,
but I want you to guess...
Not guessed, guess.
Guess. How many words were spoken in this episode?
What?
Just guess.
What kind of question is that, man?
Well, just guess. It's like one of the questions that you ask. Yeah, exactly.
No.
You're not expected to get it right.
I don't ask impossible questions.
Yes, it's not impossible.
No, I ask silly questions. I don't ask impossible questions.
It's not impossible. Let's see. Who knows? Maybe you'll get close.
Nothing's impossible.
This is just for fun.
It's like, how many people in America lost their left shoe, you know, last year?
I don't have an answer to that. Trek Time has given me the specific answer to this question.
How many? You think it's like 100? You think it's like 1,000? It's 50 million people did that last year.
Okay. So.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm being an asshole.
Reticent to play along.
I'm being an asshole.
Jesse, would you like to make the first guess and then Dan can respond?
Always the optimist.
May I hear one reiteration of the question?
I will, but you will guess. Yes. You will guess and then Dan will respond, no doubt, in some comically hilarious.
Yeah. No,
aggressively comically.
Aggressive is key.
One! Yeah, just one word. The question was, how many words were spoken in this entire episode? You can just guess any number. This is one of those things where, because Dan's right, you really can just guess any number.
A million.
Okay, all right. So
that's not what I asked you.
Jesse, Dan, Jesse has guessed that this episode contains 1 million words. Okay. Dan's getting pissed off right now because Dan was probably either going to say
he
was going to say like a million. Now he's like, shit, now I'm responsible for guessing, making a more reasonable guess. What would
your mistake?
36,000.
What would your guess be, Dan? How many words in this episode?
I mean, how many pages are in an episode? Like
it's like 30, 69 40. Million.
How many pages are in a movie? Like 60 pages?
Many pages in a movie? 90 pages, depending.
So that would mean Star Trek is probably more like 50 to 60. 50? I'm going to say 50. 40? I'm going to say 45 pages.
Okay.
45 pages
for
of Star
script,
Trek.
For a teleplay, for one 43-minute episode of Star Trek Enterprise.
I bet there are 2,000 words spoken.
2,000 words. Okay, so Dan says 2,000.
Really? I don't think that's enough.
Jesse says 1 million.
No, I mean 1 million's a joke, but like
according to Trek Time. According to Trek Time, this episode had 5,173 words.
Okay. You don't say.
That's interesting.
Which makes it the number two most verbal or verbose episode of Enterprise behind.
Wow.
Can you guess? And again, I know.
Is it an Enterprise episode?
Yes.
This is
the number two most verbose episode of Enterprise. Can you take a guess as to the number one most verbose? And I'm actually kind of interested.
Was it the night in the flock? Office?
Yes. No.
Oh,
that's a great epic classic episode of Star Trek Enterprise, A Night in Phlox's Office.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of people don't like that episode.
It's lovely.
I kind of enjoyed
it. We talked about that one, right?
We did talk.
What's
about
it called?
One.
Night in the.
I mean, you're pretty close. It's something called, like it's that. A night in sick bay.
That's right. Yeah.
Sick bay is Phlox's office.
No, this is the one.
We're so charming.
We are very charming. So the number one most verbose episode is Broken Bow.
Oh.
Charming.
The pilot.
Although, isn't that a two-parter?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
That's not quite fair.
There's other two-parter. Would you count those two-parter? I don't know.
We'll never know.
It's also not out there. But this is a very verbose
episode.
I don't know.
Maybe there's a lot of exposition.
Now.
Well, there's not a lot. They have to make up for all the lack of movement, you know, so they talk a lot. You know what? Wait a sec. I guessed 2,000.
Yeah, you it was a good guess.
And you know, my first guess was going to be 2,500, although it doesn't count because I didn't guess that, but you should always go with your first guess because even though I was wrong, I would have been a little more right.
Bit, a little closer.
Wait a sec. Being more right's not correct. That's like saying so unique.
A little more right.
I would be less mad at saying more right or more correct than more unique.
I was closer to being correct.
So unique. The problem with the unique is unique specifically means one of a kind, whereas you can have gradations of correctness, I think. You could argue that being right or correct, there are scenarios you could imagine in which there are degrees of how correct you are versus perhaps somebody else in comparison to somebody else. You can't really do that with the word unique if you're using
unique properly.
It is a
complicated universe.
Yeah. I'm afraid the math doesn't work out, Commander.
Well, talking about math, here's the next question for you. The next question for you.
So how many, do you have any idea like how many like the average episode of Enterprise has?
I do not know, but this is at 5,173 being the number two most verbose and possibly arguably even the number one if you take it by running time. That's a lot. So that's if 5,000 is a lot, maybe 2,500 is the average. Maybe 3,000 is the average. I don't know. You got to look that up.
Well, according to AI, which there's no way to know if AI has any idea what the fuck it's talking about with things like this. But according to Gemini, it says average is approximately 3,652.
I mean, it's plausible.
It also says Voyager is 4,483. Which I don't know why Voyager would have so many more than Enterprise.
The techno battle.
And
maybe.
This doesn't make sense. Oh, that's a good point. TOS
might be maybe slightly longer.
And the TOS though to that point, is 4,237 is what it says, and TOS is the longest of the running time. So who knows?
Longest running time there. So next question, care of Trek Time and the facts that Trek Time has provided, is between Trip and Malcolm, which one had more words? And bonus, if you can not only guess it, which one were right, that's a 50-50 question right there, but can you guess how many words they said?
Oh, man.
Oh, are you serious? Do you have a guess, Jesse?
Malcolm or Trip, which one spoke more?
I'm going to lean towards Malcolm.
All right. Which way to what? Commander Charles Tucker.
Mr. Tucker.
Commander Charles Tucker.
What?
Mr. Tucker.
What?
Mr. Tucker.
What?
Commander Charles Tucker.
Mr. Tucker.
Commander Charles Tucker.
Mr. Tucker.
Mr. Tucker.
Commander Charles Tucker.
Mr. Tucker.
Mr. Tucker.
What was the total again for the amount of
the total words? For the episode?
5-1.
It was 5,173.
What?
So, Dan, what do you say?
It was 2,600 words.
I'm going to say it was definitely...
He's saying Malcolm, 2,600 words. What do you
say? I say Malcolm definitely spoke the most, and I would say he spoke... Wow, 26 sounds pretty reasonable to me.
Yeah, I mean, but the same guess.
But
it's
I'm going to say 3,000.
3,000 for you. 2,600.
Balls on chin.
2,601.
No. But you both say Malcolm. What's your logic for that, Dan? Why are you seem to I don't know if you're intuiting that or
because
if it's
Malcolm
logic.
Was brooding the whole time.
And that's what I was thinking too.
And so
right?
Whereas Trip
and recording a lot of messages,
recording messages, and Trip Tucker was just kind of like, man, shut up, man. Malcolm,
right.
Malcolm was like pontificating about some kind of bullshit.
He has a more succinct way of speaking.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
So Malcolm was just more like
Malcolm had dreams.
Malcolm was more just sort of like being very dramatic. He accused Trip Tucker III of having treacly optimism.
Yes.
But you could argue that Malcolm was the treacly one because like all those messages he was leaving, these overly sentimental and dramatic messages he's leaving. So
they were treacly.
They were very treacly.
I think that is a good observation on your report.
Yeah.
Part Dan.
My point.
Your point. On your point.
Is treacly an adjective? Which means like treacle?
Sweet.
You want me to guess?
Like what treacle is?
Yeah,
like
I think
like
so.
A light
yes.
molasses.
That's how I
rendezvous. Rendezvous.
Golden syrup.
He said that all with a weird French accent.
Rendezvous. 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 Rendezvous.
Mr. Pepe Le Pew.
Maybe
here.
You have to say it that way.
Rendezvous.
So Dan thinks the ratio is like 3,000 to 2,000 ish for.
Well, wait, how much was the total per episode?
The total for this episode was 5,173.
Yeah, I'll go 3. I mean, I think 3,000 is too high, but I'm going to stick with
That's a bold one, though,
Jesse said 2,600.
Stick with it.
They actually were pretty close, but both of you are correct that Malcolm did speak the most. And I think your logic...
Does that sound modulated enough for you?
And or intuition. Very, very, very... All of that's working very well for you.
Stinky.
The specific numbers are Malcolm spoke 2,412 words.
I don't get it.
Tucker spoke 2,036 words.
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
So pretty close.
Yeah, dude.
Pretty close together. Now,
stinky.
Here's another fact. Obviously, that doesn't account for all the words in the episode, but Archer spoke, T'Pol spoke, there was some Hoshi, a few things there. Now, do you all have any guess as to how many words our old friend Travis Mayweather spoke in this episode?
Stinky.
Zero? I don't remember him.
I don't think he was in the episode.
He's in the episode.
He was?
I will put that out there for you. Now, when Trek Time sent this, I also was like, wait, was he in the episode? But when I watched it the second time,
was he
like,
in like at the very end or something?
He's in it very briefly.
Was he at the end?
He's a little at the beginning. There's a couple bridge shots. There's a few points where he's kind of around.
I mean, this was so focused on Trip Tucker and Malcolm that, like, you know, it's you barely notice.
I don't remember.
The only other people I remember in that episode are Archer and T'Pol. Yeah, like, you know, and
mostly Hoshi you hear on the
You know
what?
Actually,
show.
I remember Hoshi as well. Like,
yeah,
now
but
that
that's
you mentioned it.
There's a little bit of Phlox, but he's mostly just standing there.
Because Archer's all like, Hoshi, have you learned their language yet? And she's like, yeah.
Right.
I learned the language.
I know. I was wondering if everything, like it must be super AI powered in the future. Like, you just have to come up with the right prompts to be a good translator or something. Because how else are you supposed to learn a language that
quickly?
She's
a genius.
She is a genius. But I am saying, like, you got to be a motherfucking genius to be able to do that.
Hoshi
Saito
is a motherfucking genius.
And I'm not denying that. But, like, I mean, like, a motherfucking genius.
Star Trek Hoshi.
Star Trek
Mamma Jammas.
But the only
the
ones
Final that, Frontier with a motherfucking genius.
But the only ones I remember, other than Trip Tucker and Malcolm, is Archer, T'Pol, and now that you mention it, I do remember Hoshi, but I literally remember, like, nobody else.
A little bit of Phlox. Yeah.
So here's what I will stipulate for you. I will stipulate that Travis Mayweather is in the episode, albeit briefly.
Okay.
And he does have lines. Now, how many lines? Now, both of you
I don't think that many,
aren't remembering.
But I don't remember, but I'm an asshole.
Take
so
a stab.
What do I know?
Stab at it. Are you searching the script, Dan?
Five words.
My original guess was going to be no words, but like, I'm just checking
five,
to see if I'm right.
Five words.
All right. Jesse says five words. Dan's just going to Chakotea.net.
Oh, wow.
He's doing a fine.
Chocolate.
How many? You say how many lines or how many words?
How many words? I think it might only be like one line, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say zero because, like, I don't remember him at all.
Yeah, according to Trek Time, Travis Mayweather speaks a total of 11 words.
Whoa,
in this episode.
Dude.
And longtime listeners of the It's Got Star Trek podcast will know that we have, along with many other people, lamented the underuse of Travis Mayweather over the course of
Enterprise. He had two lines. We should reach Tesnia in about 20 hours, sir. And then Archer says something like, good work, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, aye, sir.
Yes, that's right. I remember seeing those, like, aye, sir.
Yeah.
All right. And the last thing
I feel bad for missing.
I won't quiz you about this. I'll just let you know because I think it's interesting that Trek Time says that overall, in all of Star Trek, this episode ranks as number 114 out of 957 most words.
Stinky.
I presume that, I don't know if that includes movies or whatnot, so I don't know the particulars, but.
That's the number just seems kind of unremarkable, like, okay.
Right.
Yeah, but 114 is pretty high up out of
these
out
are
of
numbers,
the,
numbers out of I, these numbers, numbers.
I think if you're in the top, what is that, the top 10% or close to it, top 15% of the entire franchise, it's a pretty verbose episode.
Good. Good.
He's reasoned it out. Good.
But
please save that one. Can you just send that to me privately?
Yeah, I'll send it to your privates.
I would like to use that.
I'm putting it in the best of right
direct,
now
in my private life.
Direct to his private.
Perfect.
What? Well, thank you so much, Trek Time.
Thank you, Trek Time. Wait.
Thanks, Agamus!
There you go.
That was really awesome. Very helpful.
Super cool.
And reminded me about, you know, we used to do some more quizzes and stuff like that, and it's...
Oh, that's right.
It's fun.
I should do more Jesse questions.
Honestly, folks, if you haven't heard it yet, I mean, it's a long time ago now, but it's on the YouTube page, it's on the website. I think we have an easy link to, we did an episode called Star Trek by the Numbers, where Dan sort of hosts a game show for Jesse and I.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite episodes we ever did.
That's pretty sweet.
It's super. It's super
fun. That was a
fun
one.
I really enjoyed that.
Very fun episode. Yeah.
So maybe we'll try to do a little bit.
That was one of those ones we recorded a few in like a week or something.
It was a bonus episode. Yeah, we're banking some
Jesse's,
content.
Jesse's
it was banking
questions.
And it was banging.
Yeah, Jesse's questions is on the Patreon. That's a fun one.
Jesse's questions.
Yeah, I guess we should do another one of those.
Jesse's questions. You're gonna learn tonight.
So Dan, can we hear some of this European versus American
stinky
list business? Maybe not a list. I forget what you described it as, but you did take some notes on this.
You mentioned a few.
It stood out to me. It was kind of an amusing thing they were doing with reminding us that in this era of Star Trek, they still have more of an association with the nation states that they grew up in.
It's pretty early on, and Malcolm, like, just sort of, like, joins. He could have been in, like, the British Navy or something.
His parents were, that's so, by all accounts, pissed that he joined Starfleet.
You come from a long line of Navy men, and you got a real good memory.
Still, like, a British Navy.
Yeah.
Doesn't it sound like he's saying baby instead of Navy? Check it out.
You come from a long line of Baby men, and you got a real good memory.
Baby men.
I mean, now that you said it, of course.
Say one more time.
Definitely. That's what it sounds like.
Think Baby men.
You come from a long line of Baby men, and you got a real good memory.
I can't think of it. When you first played it, it sounded like Navy, because that's what he's saying, and then you said Baby, and now I can't think of it any other way.
Cool but crude.
Yeah.
Cool but rude.
No. All right, so.
They died doing what they love.
Yeah, hit us with it, Dan.
Okay, well, it's just four things.
I mean, you don't need to undercut your content.
I know, I'm always doing that, and that's what you shouldn't be doing, and I'm being an asshole to myself and everyone around me.
I mean, you know.
You're the best.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No. We mean that sincerely.
No. You guys.
Yeah. It's not just a fear.
There's no one better.
It's not a fear of you lunging across the table.
Sorry about that.
You're going to get
physically violent, start strangling Jesse. Like Homer strangling Bart. Mm-hmm. Even when it would be justified.
You didn't park the right way.
Yikes.
So, yeah, at the beginning, Malcolm, he takes a shit on American schooling. At the beginning,
yeah, I was a little left out
because, like,
talking about the canon of literature that they were reading.
Yeah, because he was talking about reading Ulysses, and then like Trip Tucker was all like talking about like I'd rather stab myself in the face than than read that.
I just read comic books.
Granted, Trip's reaction is perhaps a bit stereotypical, a bit over the top. I've read Ulysses, or at least, you know, attempted to read it. Go for it. I recommend it. People should try to read it, but it's designed to be obtuse. It's like James Joyce trolling people in a way, which I respect. I think that's cool, but it's like, okay.
Charming.
Some stuff is just meant to be like an endurance contest.
I'd rather realign every microcircuit on this shuttle than try to wade through that, baby.
There was a lot of bass in that voice there. What he's saying is, he's saying about schools, he goes, British schools have a core curriculum. It serves to provide a well-rounded education. Do they not have, does North America not have core curriculum in the future?
Of course they do.
One would presume they do, but who knows?
He's just being sassy. Yeah,
does whatever.
Is Malcolm just trying to say that like North America's like excuse for a core curriculum doesn't even count as a core curriculum to him?
That's kind of how I took it.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up. He kind of takes on shit on American culture in general, as is done with the line about the comic books and the...
Sometimes I think you North Americans read nothing but comic books and those ridiculous science fiction novels.
And he said North Americans, do you think that that's after the American-Canadian Anschluss?
Do they do they unite at some point? Because...
Unite in quotes.
Because Canada, you know, they...
They got their own thing going on up there.
As far as we know, they share a monarch with the British. British North America is what I'm trying to say.
They
fought a whole war over there.
Yeah.
A couple of them.
American Revolution.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. And then he just takes like a big shit on Montana too. You know, he's like,
he had to be from Montana.
It's like, what's wrong with Montana?
Montana's awesome. I've been there one time.
It sounds beautiful.
It was a beautiful state, beautiful people. Everyone was drinking and driving. All the taxi cab drivers, and I said, are you allowed to drink and drive? And they said,
oh God.
And the response both times was, well, you're not allowed to be drunk and drive, but you can drink and drive.
Whatever you want.
You can have a sip.
I don't know what the laws are, but...
be my guest! Whatever you want.
What a delightful choice.
When I was there, it did seem... But the laws were a little looser.
And they got grizzly bears?
There's no scientific evidence that they exist.
They do. I encountered a grizzly bear in a kind way, not in a bad way. Yeah. Okay. So, there's more on the list. Because he shits on the comic books and the curriculum. He shits on the Montana.
Montana. Yeah. And then,
Hunt for Red October, Sam Neill, all he wants to do is fucking raise rabbits in Montana.
Well, then there was an implicit shit that we never actually.
I was wondering if something was going to come on this because you were really stressing this whole shitting on. You're like, they're shitting on America. Okay.
Something's going to come on it, all right.
Okay. Now it's just blue humor.
Yeah.
This is why we got to put the fucking E.
Danny Blue.
On the podcast. You got to put the explicit, and then the little kids don't want to listen to it. Advertisers don't want to advertise with us because these people are always talking about poops and cum.
Is that really how you see me?
Poopy, poopy, cum.
I'm just kidding. I like it. I like talking about poops and cum.
It's fun.
It is fun.
It is.
Who doesn't like poops and cum?
Yeah.
Not you.
We shouldn't talk about it too much, though, right?
Not too much.
Not too much.
Yeah. Dan does counsel us to not be too blue too often. See, there's going to be another fucking review. That's always the fucking
more
iTunes reviews
noises.
Are like, these guys are like, they're funny and they're clever, but always with the farts. Yeah. It's like, we never use farts except for when those people listen.
What's wrong?
But then there was an implicit shit where...
I really like that term. Just as a term shit. Of art, as a literary term, I'm super excited that now
term
exists. That's
arts.
Now that can now enter the vernacular.
Right. That's great. All right.
Implicit shit.
So when they're doing the whole Mugu guy pan, I always correct myself. Is it pawn or pan? I don't think it really fucking matters.
Because it's just some made up shit.
Yeah. And then he talks about Meatloaf, and then Trip Tucker III is like, you know, he's like, he's talking about, he's saying like,
bam, 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 bam,
bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam.
So he asked for the, that was a Vamp Supreme, with extra vamp sauce and vamp cheese.
Herb superb.
Herb superb. Green supreme. Herb superb.
Green supreme.
Colonoscopy. Remember that shit? That's from like years ago. I still think about that shit.
Who said that?
What a YouTube motherfucker. Maybe it's Jesse.
What about turd?
No, that's what you said colonoscopy. I made a joke about a virtual colonar.
Oh,
yeah.
As in a virtual colonoscopy, but then you kept going with it, and you said colonoscopy.
What is a colonar?
When you purge your the Vulcan.
It's when the Vulcans become Vulcan.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
It's the ultimate Vulcan shit where you purge yourself of emotion. Spock was doing it. Spock was doing it in Star Trek, the motion picture, but you came. I think
Spock's brother did not do it.
Yeah, and Spock didn't do it in the end either. But I think the context was during COVID, I think. So we were talking about doing like colonar like virtually or something, you know?
Virtual colonar.
That was one of the ones where I had Jimmy on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Got to have Jimmy back. Speaking about some middle-aged man's medical tests, in the context of Star Trek.
Spock-o.
Oh, yes. Okay. Sounds wonderful for the children.
Yikes.
Okay, yes. So I'm trying to get to this, and then I'm not complaining by any means, because I'm just as silly as everyone.
Just as silly.
The implicit shit.
You're the silliest.
Implicit shit.
The implicit shit is when he chooses, because I did that whole vamping episode a second ago. No. When he gets the meatloaf, and then he eats the meatloaf, and then later on, mm-hmm.
Chekhov's meatloaf. Chekhov's mashed potatoes.
No, Trip Tucker III says to Malcolm, he says, and you came close to criticizing my choice of cuisine. Implicit, because Reed never actually criticizes.
No, he really didn't.
He didn't criticize it, but Trip Tucker III says he does. So does that count?
He was just being sensitive.
Did they cut out a line or something?
No.
At Malcolm's tone. He was just misinterpreting Malcolm's tone.
I don't think he was misinterpreting. I think Dan's right. I like the term implicit shit, because what happened was Malcolm did the three quote-unquote fancy things. I know we've already talked about whether or not Mugu got pan as fancy or not, but in Malcolm's,
sabotage.
In Malcolm's view, Malcolm was putting forward in his mind what the three best choices would be.
Yeah.
And then when Trip was like, got any meatloaf?
Potato.
And Malcolm kind of looked at him like, you fucking dirty.
Are you serious?
Dirty. Like American, here's your goddamn meatloaf.
American food.
And then, of course, it helped save the day later. And by the way,
that was the potatoes.
How did you guys?
Meatloaf doesn't save nothing.
How did you guys interpret when Malcolm, who he ends up choosing the Chilean sea bass, and then he eats it? It looks to me like he's disgusted by it. But then Trip is like, how's your bass? And then Malcolm's all like, it's lovely.
It's not clear,
The way they directed it seemed to suggest that Malcolm was not enjoying it, kind of almost maybe implicitly making the connection between flying on an airplane and picking the fish dish on an airplane.
Yeah,
normally
right.
You're like, don't take the fish dish on the airplane if it's offered. Because he puts his fork in, he bites it, he makes a weird face, and then Trip is like, how's your food? And then he's like, it's lovely.
Oh, God.
Like, he doesn't want to admit that he made a stupid choice, that the meatloaf
nice
would have
fish.
Been the better,
so
the better option.
The reason I think that you're probably right is, one of the reasons is because I can't think of why else they would have had that scene in there, because I remember watching that scene and thinking, like, why was that scene in there? Like, why did they bother showing us him enjoying the food? And Patrick, I'm ashamed to say that now that you mention what you just mentioned, I had not thought of that. And now that you mention it, I'm like, that makes sense because of what you said. And then it was reinforced by my confusion earlier of, like, why did they put that scene in there? So you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say that you got one. You got this one, man.
Yeah.
Is that my catchphrase? Can that be my catchphrase?
You got this one, man.
You got this one, man.
We've done 300 and we're in the middle of doing the 312th episode of this podcast.
Oh my goodness.
You can do whatever you want.
Hey, Jesse, you got this one, man.
You got that right, man.
Wait. Hey, Jesse.
Oh, no.
Hey,
oh, my God. This is one of those audience favorites, not so much Patrick favorites.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, what?
You got this one, man.
What are you doing?
That's silly. Okay.
I think it's on the rad, but.
Very on the rad. Okay. We will.
It's going to be fine.
Be right, man.
Wait, are we taking a break?
Yes, we'll take another break. And then.
It's time to take another one.
Wait.
When we get back, we will conclude our discussion. And that's going to include some. There's going to be some lists.
We'll include and conclude.
There's going to be some other. There's all sorts of stuff happening. We haven't even talked about Ruby and the 602.
There's a few of Dan's fucking lists we got to
do. We'll deal with all of that when we return. We will be right back.
If I don't waste some oxygen sleeping, I'm going to start getting real cranky.
You don't waste oxygen sleeping. You don't use that much.
You just use it.
Yeah, you use less.
Well, define wasting. Use fewer. Fewer oxygens.
Use fewer oxygens.
All right. And we're back.
You know, your treacly optimism is beginning to get just a little bit tiresome.
I like that term. A lot of good terms in here. Treacly optimism. So, a big difference.
I don't know if it was all that treacly.
Awfully nice.
Well, I agree. Both of them are being, in my view.
He was just being Starfleet. He was like, we're going to just try whatever until it works.
This brings up a good question, because I'm very curious where you guys stand in terms of the opposing philosophies that were being presented here, because Malcolm is being very, he's trying to claim he's being realistic, but really he does seem to be at least portrayed as dour and lacking.
Just being realistic, Commander.
In hope and optimism.
Commander.
He's accusing Trip Tucker of being overly optimistic, treacly optimistic. But for me, and again, this might be a bias on my part, Trip seems to be being the more realistic one with a little bit of like, come on, let's at least try.
Right.
Give it the old college try.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I have the whole negative Malcolm list.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's right.
Fucking
ready for this.
Whip it out,
baby. Right. Okay.
Wow.
That had a chance to be a good segue. So you want me to just go into that, or do you want to discuss specifically what you just asked?
No. It was intended to be a good segue.
Okay.
Rocket.
So here we go. It starts off with number one, Trip Tucker III. I'll stop saying Trip Tucker III.
I think you should say Trip Tucker III. Charles Trip Tucker III.
So from the start, he wants to find the black boxes, and Malcolm's like, we have no radio, nothing to pick up the beacon. Yeah. Now, at this point, it's still kind of fine because he's just sort of relaying facts, but from the start, like, Trip Tucker III is like, let's look for this, and Malcolm is like, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
So you could just say it's incidental, like, he just has to be in the unfortunate position of giving bad news, but there's a theme that starts, as we obviously find out. So number two, Trip Tucker III goes, what about our distress beacon? And Malcolm says, it's offline. And then Trip Tucker III's like, what about the portable one? And Malcolm's like, I doubt a ship would be close enough to be detected by it. Now that is starting to get negative. He's poo-pooing everything, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Trip Tucker III says, how far to Echo 3? And Malcolm says, at impulse, a lot more than 10 days, which is true, but it's like not looking on the bright side of things here. You know, there are ways to be realistic without, like, just focusing
on
negative.
It's nice to have a Vulcan here or an android who's just going to give you a fucking answer without any lip.
Yeah, really. So Trip Tucker's, he's trying to come up with ideas. Malcolm's just trying to bum on them. You know, even if he's right, he's not really...
Bum on them is a new colloquialism that you've developed that I take by in context to mean he's poo-pooing those ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
Another way to put
different
it.
Than implicit
he's
shit.
Bumming, bum on him. He's gonna,
bumming on those ideas.
He's going to stick his butt out and wave it at him. He's going to say, that's fucked up.
It's different than implicit shit.
Yeah.
Blizzard shit.
Mm-hmm. Dan's looking at his screen as if he was about to play a sound, but then he
I decided against it.
Sort of, I guess he decided
because
against
you
it,
said bum, and there were some bum lines in this, yeah. And I decided not to play them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we might play him in a bit because we're going to talk about that dream soon.
Okay. Malcolm's not really thinking of ideas. He's just putting things down. For Trip Tucker III says, let's get close enough to pick up the distress beacon. Malcolm says, by the time we get there, we'll be dead. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. And Trip Tucker III says, which way to Echo 3? That's earlier you said how far. Now he's saying which way. Malcolm says, it's too far. Trip Tucker III says, do you know what direction it is or don't you? Mm. And Malcolm says, it's too far. And Trip Tucker III says, look at the stars and tell me. And Malcolm's like, that's not how it works. Yeah. You know, it's just like, meh.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you can say Trip Tucker III maybe being unrealistic about the possibility of finding someone at Impulse, but like the odds aren't good, but you can't just give up. And it seems like this is the point where it's like Malcolm's like officially starting to give up, you know?
There was something I heard about how they train astronauts, like about like to try all these different things. If something doesn't work, then you do this, and if that doesn't work, then you do this. And it's all about how, like, so you don't panic, mm-hmm. so you always have this other thing to do, like, so you're not like, oh, I'm fucked up trapped in space. Like you know there's always some kind of thing you can try, and that's sort of what it reminded me, what, you know, what the Trip Tucker's approach, Charles Trip Tucker mm-hmm. III's approach was to be like, well, you know, let's, you know, there's all these things we can try to do.
And that there's things that are broken, and Trip being an engineer.
Right, let's try to fix something.
Again, it's a little on the nose, but he's all about fixing things. And his whole approach
is, not bumming on
let's
it.
Figure out
right.
what we can do to fix things, even if it's unlikely we can fix some of these things. And so that includes fixing the situation.
He was sitting there working the whole time, and when he had that, when the other dude had the dream, and then he woke up, and he was all like saying, like, okay, I've been doing this work, and hey, what about Stinky?
Stinky.
Yeah, it was totally like, you know, like
Stinky.
I'm sitting here concentrating on this stuff, and like you're talking about Stinky, and you're
I kept calling for some guy named Stinky.
And there's not to use the word implicit again, since we're using it a lot in this episode, but implicitly, or maybe you could say it's overtly, the moral of this tale, in part of the moral is they're definitely framing Malcolm, I think, as the one you're supposed to sort of disagree with, although I'm sure many people identify with him. But in a work environment, not necessarily an emergency environment, that's a different argument, but absolutely, if you're working with people, it's always nicer to work with the person who is going to give it to you straight, but also be like, but yeah, who knows? Let's think about it different ways. I don't think it'll work, maybe, or this unlikely to work, but okay, this is at least let me explain the deal and not just like poo-poo it and go in with the assumption that it's not going
to
work.
I'm just getting a little tired of listening to all your pessimism.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it can be annoying to listen to, but also, I'm not saying believing in any of the woo-woo stuff, but I think you can definitely you can make a self-fulfilling fucking prophecy. If you assume everything's shit, you're going to make decisions that maybe will confirm that worldview for you.
Because it did seem like pretty early on Malcolm was like, we're fucked.
And it's just called also, you know, just being proactive, you know, just trying to think of something to do. Jesse, sort of on a tangent of what you were saying about how you're talking about in space, they have all these scenarios, like, this happens, do this. There's a lot of instances of that kind of, like, this may be a little different, but in judo, for example, they do a lot of drilling where it's a lot of like not thinking about the next move you do. If somebody does
automatic,
if somebody like moves their hip this way, you automatically do this other thing, you know, and so you try to minimize the amount of time thinking about it. Obviously there are always decisions
so
to
your brain doesn't get in the way.
Obviously there are always decisions to be made, but you want to sort of minimize that. You want to compress those, you want to be efficient about, you want to compress your brain power into what it needs to know versus what it can do automatically. Automatic lover.
I enjoyed that.
Automatic lover.
The audience can't see the little dance.
This has been Dan.
The little dance.
Automatic lover.
Dan's dancing. That'll be a new YouTube feature we'll put together. Or maybe TikTok.
Patreon.
Dan's dancing with his
cats. That's not what I asked you.
OnlyFans.
So number six, which actually kind of like was spread over the other points, but I condensed them into one, was this Malcolm and his journal entries. That sort of like over the episode. So the three journal entries he had, it started with some kind of general report of what happened that started under the premise that they were already dead.
Yes.
So while this is happening, Trip Tucker III is doing work, and Malcolm is being like dramatic
for posterity.
Yeah, right. And so dramatic, in fact, that every time Trip Tucker III interrupts him, he rewinds it.
I love that.
And deletes it.
Because
he wants it to sound because it makes it sound less dramatic when Trip Tucker III. Yeah.
Because the purpose is not a truthful telling of what's happened. It's a performative version that's designed, probably unconsciously, by Malcolm to put himself in the best light,
right,
and to write part of the story for his quote-unquote storied family.
At risk of giving away one of my later points, I don't remember if I put it in there. I probably did. Mm. But like when he was shaving, he wanted to shave to leave a good body behind.
A hot corpse.
Originally, Chip Tucker III thought it's like, oh, cool, you're staying positive and like you're doing what you need to do to psych yourself up. He's like, no, I just want to leave a good corpse.
But he was smiling when he said that, which was also funny. He was in a good mood because he's like, I'm gonna leave a hot fucking body.
But then when he finds out it's not gonna do it, he doesn't bother anymore. So
although a little quibble with Charles Trip Tucker III's assertion that your hair and nails grow after you die.
Hair grows.
They grow a little bit.
But not straight. I mean, you could there's a debate to be had about
so
the term. Strictly speaking, they do not grow in the way they grew when you were alive.
Right.
Your skin dehydrates and shrinks and recedes.
Right, right.
And then that will push out some hair, that will push out.
It gives it like the
some nails. Exactly. It's more of an optical illusion. But that's a nitpick.
I like
this was 2001. People weren't so smart back then.
I like how when they rewind it made that rewindy noise. Yeah, they had that tape to rewind.
There's a term for that I always forget, which is when you have something that doesn't make sense. It's a reference to a previous version of a technology.
Okay. I thought you meant there was a term for the noise that rewinding
makes. No, well, there probably is. But the classic example, and it's driving
retrosonic.
It's driving me nuts that I don't know this because I love this. I love this word. People in the audience will let us know on social media at It's Got Star Trek. God, what is it? It's like an architectural term. Fuck, it starts with a P. Anyway, but the classic example is the icon of a disc.
Oh,
for
right.
saving,
yeah, right.
like
right.
long it's past like people using disk. Floppy disks.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Or a notepad app that looks like a yellow piece of paper with lines.
Or like
lines
folders
on.
Have, or like manila folders.
Precisely. Folders being. There's folders. A term for that, and that rewinding sound made me think of that because obviously he's recording digitally. It would be hilarious.
Is it manila?
If a manila envelope.
Manila's envelope. Is it manila a company or is it a style?
It's a city.
It's like a place in the Philippines.
No, but I'm saying when they call a manila envelope. I'm not talking about the fucking location. What was I just talking about, guys?
Well, I don't
I'm not talking to you, Jesse. I'm talking to both of you guys. Because both of you guys were like, well, it's in blah, blah, blah. I was like, I'm obviously talking about a fucking envelope.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Folder.
What?
The manila envelope, the folder, the manila folder or a manila.
You're saying
envelope.
It's a style they use in. Okay, it's not. Is that like, is it like Venetian blinds, vanilla folder?
Is it like Nilla wafers?
Venetian blinds don't even like come from Venus.
I'm just, but I'm. Okay.
Where's it? Venice.
Venice.
Did they invent it in Venice? Okay. Venereal. Venus should be called venereal, but they invented Venusian because venereal
just,
sounds like venereal
I guess
disease.
Or French fries is like French fries. Anyways.
And they were invented in Belgium.
Oh, God, it's not the point I'm making.
All right.
Anyways, we got to hurry up with this here.
All right. So. I'm all about this.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Dan. You take over, Dan.
No. You guys don't stop talking.
No. I'm going to keep talking.
Blah, 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 blah.
I'm
gonna
keep talking. I just can't be super responsible about the time at this stage.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Anyways, after all that, his message he ends with,
may God have mercy on our souls.
Which is like, get the fuck out of here.
It's like super performative.
Yeah. The second time, he's all, Trip Tucker III is trying to sleep while Malcolm is sending a message to his parents.
Yes.
And Trip Tucker III is getting annoyed. Malcolm is talking, and then like Malcolm starts talking to Trip Tucker III directly to him through the messaging. He's like, "What Trip?" And that's when he starts going like,
"Commander Charles Tucker."
And he's like,
"Mr. Tucker
thinks this is stupid."
"Mr. Tucker
thinks I'm stupid."
He's interrupted.
"Mr. Tucker
is lazy."
He's interrupted my passive aggressive email to my parents.
Right?
Would they have preserved oxygen if they whispered?
I don't know.
Well, he said they only lost...
preserve a little bit?
He said they only lost 5 or 6 minutes burning a candle, so like...
Yeah, that's fucked up. They shouldn't have burned that candle at all.
Well, I mean, I would have thought it would have been more, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly. I was like, what is this guy doing?
I mean, if it's only 5, 6 minutes, it's fine, but like... I just always assumed it would be more. I'm not saying I know what I'm talking about. I'm just like, I don't know. I'd be curious.
Yeah. No, it seems like it would burn off more oxygen.
The whole episode, they're making a big deal about like, you know, extending it for every minute.
It seems like they should have just been whispering and like not talking that much, because talking uses up oxygen.
Well, yeah, and I'm just saying like...
This is the most talky episode.
The point I was making is that I thought that burning a candle would burn up more oxygen than they claimed it did, which makes me wonder, does whispering not save as much as we think it
might? Yes.
Is what I'm saying. Anyway.
I hear you, dog.
I hear you. So basically he's saying...
Dog Pound Esquire.
He's saying Trip Tucker III is not accepting the truth, and then T3 starts talking to Malcolm through them by calling Malcolm cynical, which was pretty funny. Like, he's like, has he always been this cynical? Because then...
He's a Grim Reaper.
When he's like... Has Malcolm always been this cynical, saying it to his parents? And I just have this image of his parents like crying, listening to the message. And then when Trip Tucker III says that, they're just like, yeah, yeah, he is. And then they start crying again.
Although, I don't know with the whole cynical Malcolm thing, because in some ways he's being all over dramatic too.
Yeah, I don't know if cynical is quite the right
cynicism
word.
Cynicism might not be the right adjective.
I know what they were trying to say, but I agree with you. I thought cynical might not have been the right word.
Because I don't equate cynicism with depression, right? I mean, I'm saying not clinical depression per se, but that definitely they're framing a Malcolm in that sort of like blah, 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 like an Eeyore type. He's a British Eeyore type.
Yeah, it's more like
Starfleet Eeyore.
Yeah, I mean, it's more has to do with like sort of like thinking people are like fucking shitty and stuff.
There are some people who I think things are not going to go well, and then when they start not going well, they get excited because they're like, see, I knew it. I knew things weren't going to go well. It actually makes them happy,
yeah, right?
Which I can understand. It's like their worldview is being ratified.
Well, when you're cynical, it's mostly like you. If I'm cynical, I think other people are generally do things because they're shitty.
Exactly. Basically. I agree.
Right. And that's sort of not what was being... Yeah. Anyway, so
I can't square that with his romantic ruby business.
Okay, so and all those Trip Tucker III wants to go to sleep. Malcolm's wallowing. Then apparently there were like 7 messages before this. So now it's or something. The third message, he's leaving a message to his dearest Deborah.
Ah, yes,
then
his Deborah.
Then
there's a whole bunch of ladies.
Then his dearest Rochelle, you know, all that stuff. You know, they can't all be your dearest. That's not how Est works, you know.
So, like, okay, like, before that, they were talking, and, like, it turns out that they, like, you know, dated the same lady or something.
Ruby.
But then there were
all these other ladies that Malcolm happened to know as well.
So, right.
So that guy.
So
he
was a wild boy.
So, actually, this is the one where, like, he had made, like, 5 or 6 messages before that, not the last one. This is the one where he had, like, had five or six ones.
Good time.
And
boy.
He was like, no, she had great eyes. I would never say that she had a beautiful smile or whatever.
yeah, that's fucked up.
With who is the eyes?
After the first entry.
The eyes. He has his father's eyes.
after the first entry, T3 is like, stop being pessimistic and help. And Malcolm says he's being realistic. And T3 says, there could be anyone around the next corner. Malcolm says maybe at warp, but at impulse, there's no one, not for 6 or 7 years. T3 insists the possibilities are endless. Malcolm is probably right, but it doesn't hurt to try. That's kind of like a rehashing. I mean, that's something that happened again, but they're kind of, it's the same sort of theme. So,
rather nice bump.
And then like, when Malcolm says that he's going to go get rations and he asks Trip Tucker if he wants to wait for someone to serve proper meals. That's when it starts getting like pretty tense. Right there. He's like, unless you want to wait and do this meal.
Snarky.
Snarky. Yeah, exactly. Number 8, after the pressure leak that fucked up their O2, Trip Tucker III wonders if that's what messed up the Enterprise. And then Malcolm's like, we'll never know. And then he's like,
always the optimist,
you know. And he's like, we only have 40 hours air left. And Trip Tucker says, he's like, no, we're not. I'm going to have a kid. And then Malcolm's like, Malcolm does say in a funny way that they have a day and a half to find his wife, which was negative. But that actually made Trip Tucker laugh. He actually laughed at that.
It was a good gag. There were a couple of good jokes they told in this episode.
There's a couple of good
jokes. And
then
they started drinking.
I was into that turtle joke. That turtle joke.
Oh, I was wondering. That almost sounded like a Far Side comic or something like that.
It was a good joke. Maybe it was a Far Side comic, but yeah. whatever it was.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying it's. I enjoyed it. I'm not saying it's one that I remember. It seems like it was something you would see in the Far Side.
I hadn't made the connection, but I agree 100% that it was a Far Side.
I guess it could have been any kind of joke, and I guess it could have been several kinds of single panel cartoons. Not saying Far Side is like other single panels because Far Side is.
Do you think it would have been a family circus?
Far Side is very
or
much
Boondocks.
Far Side is very much its own thing.
So you don't think Family Circus could pull off the two snails and a turtle, and then one of the snails says, like, hold on, Charlie, or whatever. I can't remember exactly.
It wouldn't be as funny.
In Family Circus, there would have to be sort of like a slightly wholesome Christian angle to it.
Yeah.
There's always that not me character, you know, the not me, the invisible not me character.
I like the episodes of Family Circus where it just shows where all the places he's run around that day.
I enjoy those as well.
Yeah. Where there's like a dotted line, it's showing he's like, whoa, he jumped over that fence.
Jeffy.
And he walked up the teeter totter.
There is a website that shows Family Circus cartoons being recycled from like 40 years before, but where they slightly change it to modernize, say, the equipment and the where the house looks or the way the city looks.
I like there's that one with the kid, like,
getting he's got way like, off topic. I'm actually trying to bring it home. Okay. Now.
He's got like a little Cthulhu on his face and he's like, I can see forever.
How is it?
That's a funny. That's
how
a funny
is it that
parody.
I'm the one trying to bring it?
You're
back
in charge,
over.
Dan.
That's all I was.
I'm not
close this down. We got 11 minutes left in the podcast. You can do it.
So Malcolm shaves, Trip Tucker, oh, we already went over this, about the whole shaving incident, and like, Trip Tucker thought it was mistook it for a positive attitude when really he was just wanted to leave a pretty corpse. When it didn't go that way, when he found out it wasn't going to work, he gave up. Number 10.
Halfway through shaving, which sucks.
Yeah, which that pissed me off. I was like, I couldn't sit there like that.
Yes.
Yeah, at that point I would have just finished it. At number 10, Trip Tucker III says he's going to tell Hoshi and Travis's family about how great they are. And Malcolm's like, he assumes it's through a letter. He's like, oh, well, just make a letter. I'll be quiet or whatever. And then he's like, nope, I'm going to tell him in person. And that pissed Malcolm off. That's I think that's when he accused Tripper of, Tripper.
Jack Tripper from Charles Company?
That's when he accuses them of him of having treacly optimism.
Treacly.
Yeah, I can understand like how Trip Tucker's optimism could get a little annoying at that point because he was being a little
treacly.
But like, he won't even accept the possibility that it won't work out. Like Trip Tucker, like optimism is one thing, but he's straight up like, no, we are going to live, which is he's getting a little unrealistic. I would rather be unrealistically optimistic than unrealistically pessimistic in a situation like that because there's nothing you can do but hope.
There's less downside to being optimistic.
Yeah, because there's nothing you can do but hope in that situation.
If you're going to be biased, bias yourself towards...
It helps they had that bottle.
It's not like being optimistic about fighting a giant troll, you know? It's like, if you're too optimistic about fighting a giant troll, you might get killed.
Sure. You can be overconfident.
But in this situation, you only have hope to count on because there's a lot of shit's out of your control.
And I think that can open your mind to ideas you might not otherwise have if you're assuming things aren't going to work out.
I'll say, we're finishing up here. Trip Tucker III is pissed, so he's like, let's get a last meal, all pissed off like, and he asks Malcolm what he wants, and Malcolm's all mopey like, I'm not hungry.
Right, that's lame, dude. Eat something.
That's what somebody does when they're moping. They're like, I'm not hungry. You know, and then Trip Tucker III offers Malcolm a drink, and then Malcolm says, "I don't drink on duty."
Duty.
Oh, does he say? Are you declaring that he said duty? You didn't make that.
I'm not hungry. Well, then, how about a drink? I don't drink on duty.
Duty.
On duty. On duty. On duty. On duty.
I say duty.
It sounds like it's a no duty.
No duty.
I agree. That's a definite duty. No duty. Yeah. He pronounces his duties right.
Perhaps unsurprising.
Malcolm, he is from England. Yeah.
Malcolm Jonathan Reed or whatever his name is.
I would be more. I would actually expect him to pronounce duty more than I would expect Jean-Luc Picard to pronounce duty.
Because Jean-Luc Picard is French.
Yeah, apparently. Anyways, so it's hilarious that he says, he's like, I don't drink on duty, which is also a super mopey statement because like, if he doesn't want to drink, that's fine. But because they're on duty, he already thinks they're going to die.
Yeah.
You know, so they're, you know, they're not really on duty anymore.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
According to this whole attitude that he has, that they're already dead. He's just trying to be miserable at this point.
But being on duty, sticking to his job in Starfleet fits his narrative. The narrative he's created, this but overly like, dramatic.
The British thing. Navy like drinks more than like most other navies already. Wow. So like when they're like on duty,
it just he says it. It's a fact.
Well, I mean, I agree. It does fit his narrative, but yeah. I do still think he's being moping. He's doing it in a moping.
Agreed, 100%. Yeah. But what I like is that it's all this the way Trip and Malcolm are portrayed in this episode, all their dialogue, which is a lot, makes perfect sense in the context of their characters. I know this is early season one, but this is a really good example of taking what was already established by the characters earlier in the season and creating this fun scenario where you get to play with the character development, move them forward a little bit.
And the last one is, we already kind of mentioned this, Trip Tucker III lights the candle. Mm. Malcolm is a little grumpy about it. And then he's just like, you really think that's going to provide any heat? You know, it's like right to the very end.
Is that a segue to talking about the dream sequence?
No. It is pretty silly to lit the candle in
But
general.
They blew up the engine in order to get the attention of the Enterprise. And it was Trip Tucker III who said, I'm an engineer. I won't blow up the engine. This time, Malcolm came up with the idea and Trip Tucker III poo-pooed it.
Yeah.
And this time, Trip Tucker... And that was the one that was one of the main things that got them saved. Yeah. It was finally Malcolm came up with the one positive thing.
That was pretty ballsy.
He opened his mind to it.
Yeah, and also, this time, Trip Tucker III wanted to give up because he wanted to kill himself to give Malcolm more time.
Yeah.
It sounds heroic, but he really was just giving up.
Yeah.
And so...
I agree.
And so, ironically, it's Malcolm that saves the day, and Trip Tucker III who didn't want to try. So.
But he didn't get his kiss from T'Pol, like in his...
Florida. No.
In his...
No.
Inappropriate workplace dream
for real.
So
man.
Where they
stinky.
He's got all the stinky business and making out with
stinky,
making out with T'Pol.
Stinky.
It was a lot. This
that was
dream
pretty
sequence.
Yeah, yeah. So the three
what did he say about something about a rather nice bum or something?
Well, I was gonna say real quick, it turns out both of them saved the day because Malcolm comes up with the idea to blow up the thing and Trip Tucker III is the one who was kept them alive longest, you know. So but the trilogy of stories about Malcolm's fantasy with T'Pol. It was
where would I stay?
It was the dream when T'Pol says Captain Archer would be quite annoyed with me if I told you of your heroics. I believe he's looking forward to doing that himself in the morning. And he's like, heroics? She's like, I had no idea you could be so selfless. Most of the males would give up. And he goes like, well, since you've obviously not going to tell me what happened, I suppose a simple good night will do. And then she goes, Vulcans can never ignore courage. I think if there's one thing Vulcans can ignore, it's courage. Obviously, this is a silly dream. But like, don't think Vulcans give two shit. In fact, they probably think courage is like a liability.
That's
or something.
When you start to like, I mean, like you're wondering what this scene is. And then like by that point, you're less like, yes, it's totally a dream. Like, is this a dream? And it's like, yeah, it's totally a
so,
dream.
Yeah. So yeah, right.
There's no going back now.
Right, so this is the first part, and then there's the whole thing about Malcolm is a lovely name. Molcom is Vulcan word for serenity. I guess that's not true, but like
one has to presume that's not true, and that's just his dream logic being hilarious.
And then of course, then there's sort of the famous. Well, then perhaps I won't change it. Pity though, I was rather growing fond of the name Stinky. So
Stinky. It was when I said Stinky, wasn't it? Smiled when I said Stinky. Good morning, Stinky. It's a lovely day, isn't it? Stinky.
It's like really obscene.
It was really weird.
Well, then when it gets to the when he starts,
I know it was trying to be weird, but it was really
no,
weird.
No, it was weirder than they were trying to be.
Yeah,
it was weirder than they were trying to be.
It's
and then,
gross when he starts like so many Stinkies.
Stinky.
It's like enough, dude.
And the other thing that
Stinky
sort of feels out of place is this whole like.
Stinky.
Talking about T'Pol's bum business. Which,
oh yeah.
Which, I know. It's a little.
That's bum.
Guys chatting about bums. That's not such a big deal in and of itself.
You ever noticed her bum?
But the
she's got an awfully nice bum.
The presentation.
That bum.
Awfully nice bum.
Now,
the
presentation was a little. And I don't know. It just felt a little awkward. And
so,
for me, part of it was that Trip Tucker was all like, "What are you talking about?" Not because she's a colleague, but because she's fucking Vulcan.
Right.
He's pretending like he's being disgusted by Vulcans.
That was
He goes,
oh God.
It sounds like he says that as somebody just puked on him or something, you know?
Florida man.
So yeah, the only reason I played those bum sounds just now is because it was scientifically like enhancing our point. Those are the sounds
scientifically enhancing our point.
Scientifically enhanced. Those are the ones I didn't want to play earlier because it was kind of that whole scene.
You play
was
them again just so you know for science.
You ever noticed her bum? She's got an awfully nice bum.
Awfully nice.
That's bum.
So that's actually the second story in the trilogy is, what do you think of T'Pol? Do you think she's pretty? You know, he's like,
I think she's pretty. I think she's pretty.
So it's all the
nice bum.
And he's like, she's pretty. He starts talking about her bum. So that's part two of the story of this whole, the journey of the conversation. And then there's part three of the trilogy is at the end when it's the dream sequence, except it's real life. Yeah. And he's like, sub commander. By the way, what does sub commander
mean?
It's
a Vulcan.
It's like, it's like commander.
Yeah, okay.
Vulcan
rank.
Yeah, Lieutenant commander. I knew it was a rank, but it's weird. It's not command. For all intents and purposes, she is the commander.
The Romulans have that rank that too. Anyway,
That's when she's like, Reed goes, sub commander, and she's like, yeah. And he's like, isn't there something you're supposed to say to me? And she's like, about what? And he's like, heroics, something about heroics. And she says, good night, Lieutenant. Yeah. And it's almost like she knew he was being gross the way she said it.
Yeah, she could tell.
Yeah, so that's part three. So you see how that's a trilogy. You could make a whole movie trilogy out of those three.
Paul's dealt with this shit a lot.
Yeah. Just like you could extend certain episodes to an entire season, you could make those three parts a trilogy of movies.
She's like, that guy's thinking about
my
mom.
Think Lord of the Rings. Yeah. Except this.
Yeah.
Three parts.
When you said trilogy, that's actually exactly what I was thinking.
Lord of
about.
The Rings trilogy.
That was a good list.
Well done. Do you think Klingons like bourbon? Kentucky bourbon? Do you think they would like it?
If you put some prune juice in it,
That was only that one time with Worf.
Worf regularly drinks bourbon.
I'm not sure who in space is drinking bourbon, but
I don't know.
I like bourbon. I would drink space bourbon. Or
Riker.
Bourbon in
space bourbon.
Riker's drinking bourbon.
Space bourbon.
Do you think mashed potatoes?
Reed.
Why did he shoot all that nitrogen? How was the
so they could see where
that's
the
what
gas
I, well, that's
was moving?
What, well, that's what I was wondering.
That was kind
of
tight.
So okay, here's an example of I was like in the middle of saying something, and you guys answered my question before I was
I'm
done.
I'm so sorry.
Before I was done saying what I was saying, I was gonna be like, why did they do this? I think it's because this, and then that's when you go, Dan, you're right, or Dan, you're wrong. This is what really the reason.
Gotcha.
What I was gonna say is what you just said is why did they do that? What I understood is that because the nitrogen would move around and it would detect the leak.
I think you're right, Dan.
Okay, great.
I agree with you.
Okay. Mashed potatoes, not only are they yummy, but they're powerful enough to stop a leak.
That was weird.
They were gross rations mashed potatoes.
Yeah, they were joking
good,
on
it's
if
like
they were
MRE.
Good mashed potatoes, it wouldn't have worked.
You know what those, you know what they were?
Micro singularities are a Vulcan myth.
Nope, they're in the rations, the meatloaf rations.
Meatloaf rations.
Well, black boxes.
Black boxes.
That was a fun episode of Star Trek Enterprise. I think it was a pretty fun episode of It's Got Star Trek.
Yeah.
I'd have to say so.
It's not. Yeah, I'd say it's not too shabby myself.
Not too shabby, Dan.
Now, next week, we are going to be discussing Space Seed.
Oh, my God.
From the original series. That's the one that introduces Khan.
Khan.
And there's this whole Khan podcast. I don't know if we're going to cover that. Maybe we should.
Grim Reaper.
I haven't listened to it yet. I'm super excited. Everyone's really loving the Khan podcast. So anyway, we're going to do Space Seed next week. So check it out. You watch Space Seed and then come listen to the podcast next week.
Perfect. Too stinky.
In the meantime, you can go to the website.
www.itsgotstartrek.com. Perfect.
At It's Got Star Trek on all the social medias. And you can find us at Facebook, YouTube.
What?
It would be awesome if you subscribe to us on YouTube. Just
whatever you want.
Get as many subscribers there as we can.
Now, what a delightful choice.
Clickety click.
It's mostly just the podcast with a static image, but it's a nice static image.
It's good.
It's custom to the episode. That's fine.
Maybe it's another asteroid field.
It's a pleasant image.
Listen to the podcast on your TV or something like that.
Experience it.
All right. So next
You're week, a very brave man, Malcolm.
Next week, Space Seed. And with that, we'll say goodbye.
Later, baby.
Turn that thing off and get some rest.
Good night, Lieutenant.
There was a little bar in Mill Valley where all the Starfleet trainees used to go.
The 602 Club.
You know it.
I was there more times than I can remember.
I met the girl of my dreams my first Friday night there. She was the one, there's no doubt about it. We had it all figured out. Where we'd live, how many kids we'd have. Ah, Ruby.
Whatever happened to you?
Ruby? You don't mean the waitress, Ruby.
You knew Ruby?
I knew her more times than I can remember.
Ouch.
Seems we have more in common than we thought.
Yeah.